Thank you for that introduction, and turn your Bibles to that passage, 2 Corinthians, because we're going to be looking at reading several scriptures in this area, chapter 2 and chapter 3. When I looked at this passage this week, I thought about influence, our influence on other people. How many people do you come in contact with every day? And as a number, I think we can't really count if we think about it. All we can think about people at work and that we come in contact with, but what about people at the stores or as you're walking down the sidewalk, if any of you go for walks, or people you come in contact as you're driving, or social media. We influence a lot of people, and we don't even realize how many people we influence. And the Christian walk, though, the Christian life, is more important. Your being, I don't know how to say this, I'm going to say this in several ways. Your being is more important than your doing. Let me say it this way. Jesus knows that if you will do if you are. I know that was confusing. You'll do the right thing if you're the right person. That's why this is called a new birth. It's called, you're called a new creature, a new person. We talk about having a new heart. The Bible speaks about having a new heart. You act out of who you are, not what you do. We get it all mixed around where we think if we do the right thing, then there will be the right person. But Jesus says, be the right person, and then you'll do the right thing. And it's important and it's essential that we begin with who we are in Christ before we begin to act and do things. We need to live our lives out. And we see this in the passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But this section goes all the way to chapter 3, verse 18, and really on into chapter 4 and 5 also. It speaks of who we are in Christ first. And then it says, conversely, who we are not. We are something and we are not something. And Paul does this, and the Bible does this all throughout the scriptures, and it emphasizes this, and often we miss it. This section of scripture defines us. It tells us who we are. Some of these things you may have never known. As we read these things, as you read these, and we don't have time to go through the whole thing, you may have never realized that you are certain things that Paul tells us that we are. And then he says, and because you are this, this is how you are to act. You act out of who you are. If we are ever to reach people effectively for Christ, it has to be based in these truths, beginning who we are and going on into what we do. We are God's aroma, first of all. And let's read verses 14 through the first part of verse 16, where it says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are, to God, the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and to those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. When I look at this passage, I want to add that this question pops into my mind. How do you smell? What is your aroma? And as Rodney was talking about that, smells are natural. Bacon smells like bacon. Bacon doesn't smell like perfume. One of my favorite smells is the copra sheds in the South Pacific. As you walk past the copra sheds, the dry coconut that's stored in these sheds, this aroma comes out of it. And yet I remember the first time Julia walked past it, she's like, "Ooh, that's overpowering. I don't like that smell." But then she grew to love the smell. But smells have their own unique natural smells. Paul says, begins here, but thanks be to God. And when he says that, this is very typical of Paul. He's referring to something he's just said, and then he's going to change the subject. It's going to cause him to go down a different road here. What had happened is that he went into Troas, and you can back up to verse 12 to see this, to preach the gospel, and there was a marvelous opportunity. He said there was an open door there. Now notice this. Paul is outwardly, he's reaching out to people. Things are going well, an open door, and he says, I could not be at peace because I did not know where Titus was. I was concerned about him. So I said no to a good thing to go find my brother Titus. Isn't that amazing? Paul was reaching people, and he said, I have to stop this and go find my brother. And then he says, but thanks be to God. And I think if you would have continued the thought, he would have said something like, thanks be to God, I found him. But then his thought pattern changes, and he says, this reminds me of God's work in my life. This reminds me of God leading me in a triumphal procession. And as Rodney was talking about this in the ancient days when a war was over, they would bring people. The armies would come through often under an arc of triumph, and you see those all through Europe. They'd walk under there. They'd go to the. They'd walk through these areas. The soldiers would be there. The priests would be there. The prisoners of war, the soldiers, all would be there, and they would be burning this incense the whole time. And they would say, was saying, is they would smell this, and those who were the victors would say, this is a sweet smell. The soldiers have come home. We have won the battle. We won the war. But to those who were prisoners, it was the smell of death. This is the end. And so the smell did not change. And this is the application. We are the aroma. We are emitting the aroma of Christ. We're not trying to change our smell. We're not trying to be an appealing aroma. We're not concerned how others smell us. Because it says, we are to God the aroma of Christ. We don't change our behavior to be more appealing to the world. We don't center or focus our lives on what other people are thinking about us. Our focus, our center, our concern, our behavior is only in Christ and living out His life, living His life out in mine. We don't change our smell. It's a misapplication to say, of this passage, to say we're to change our behavior to smell better to the world. We're to do things to be more appealing to the world. Our focus is only in Christ, and our smell is only of Christ, and how people receive that is up to them. It's like this, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. That's my focus, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's all we do, reflect Christ. And so, who is up to this task? Look at this little boy. You know, Batman was my favorite character. I don't like all the recent movies as dark and sinister, but when I read the comics as a child, Batman was my man. I could never be Superman because I'm not from another planet. I could never be Spider-Man, even though I wanted to be, because I hadn't been bitten by a radioactive spider. They all had these things that just either some kind of power, the Flash, I don't know why he could run so fast, you know, all these different things, but it was a superpower. But the one man that I thought I could be like him was Batman. You know why? Because he just worked hard, and he worked out, and he became the Batman. Because of his own power, because of his own strength. And we look at this, and we say we are to emit the aroma of Christ. And that's what I feel like. This little boy trying hard to be like Batman, and his bat ears are hanging down, and his clothes don't even fit right. He's not Batman as much as he wants to be. And to ask the question, who's up to the task, is to answer it. Who here is living like Christ? Who is perfect like Christ? Who wants to set themselves up as an example and say, follow me, I'm like Christ? We want to be the Batman of Christianity, but we can't. Who are the ones who say, yes, I'm the sweet smell of Christ to those fellow believers? And to the outsiders, they recognize me as the aroma of Christ, and I repel them sometimes. No one is up to the task. And this drives us and should drive us to our center, our focus, and that's Christ's life. And let Christ just live his life out in me. You know what our temptation is? Our temptation is salesmanship. Look at verse 17, where he says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. We're tempted to sell Christ instead of living Christ. Our focus when we see these things is to make plans, our efforts, our own ability. We can do it if we work hard enough, if we try hard enough. The temptation is to center our work on being charismatic, our personality, excitement, programs, all these things. That's what we are tempted to be, the Batman of Christianity, and just work hard and get it done. But Paul said, we do not peddle the word for profit. If I can just find the right key, if this church could just find the right key, if we could just find the right method, if we could just do the right thing, if we could go to another church and find out what they're doing, and then we bring it here and do it, then this church will take off. We are not salesmen trying to make a buck. We see the task before us, and the task is this. Here's the key. Live out Christ in your life. Be his aroma. Our temptation is to hire the pro, sell the program, push a message, make it happen. That's the American way. That's the easy way, but it's not the way of Christ. One person said it this way, we are to smell, not sell. But we are tempted to sell and not smell. This is what God wants. Look at verse 17, the last part. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Listen to what God wants. Four easy words. Recognize. Recognize that you're sent from God. You are Christ's ambassador. This should encourage you. God has chosen you in your weakness to represent him. And all throughout this passage, all through to chapter 5 and almost into chapter 6, it just keeps going on. This is who you are in Christ. This is who you are. You are his ambassador. You are his representative. You are sent from God. That's who you are. As weak as you are, as ineffective as you are, as poor as you are, as weak as you are sent from God. And that should be great encouragement to you. Second, speak. Words must be spoken. He says we speak the word of God. And it's not enough just to set the example, just to show people, but we must show and speak at the same time. But when we speak, we need to know in whose presence we speak. This verse says, on the contrary, we in Christ we speak before God. When we're speaking to someone about God's message, realize this, it's not me trying to sell this person. It's not me trying to talk to this person. I am just speaking before God. I'm his representative, and it doesn't matter how they take it. I just speak before God, share his word. That's all I'm doing here. In Christ we speak, and then we know whose presence, but we also then speak sincerely. People will respond if you're genuine. People will respond if you're sincere. Don't we all, and if you're a salesman, I'm not putting you down, but don't we all resist salesmanship? Have you ever been sold and you know you're being sold? Do you get excited about that? Do you go, oh man, this guy's selling me, all right. No, we resist salesmanship, and then often we resent being sold. We might even buckle to the pressure and we buy what is being sold to us, and then we have remorse later on. And that's our problem. If we sell Christianity, we will result in having sales was remorse. But if we share, if we just smell the way we're supposed to smell, if we have the aroma of Christ and we're sincere, we have good news to share with other people. People will respond to that one way or the other. This pulls us into God-centered living, into Christ-centered competency. And we see this all throughout chapter 3. And this focus is on who we are, not what we do. Let's read verses 1 through 3 very quickly, where he says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. There's so much in this passage that we could spend so much time on, and we're just going to touch it right now. We live our lives like letters of recommendation. You ever ask someone for a letter of recommendation? What's the purpose of a letter of recommendation? But usually what it does is you are recommending someone and you're bringing out their best qualities, right? You're not just telling all the bad things, you're telling their best qualities. I remember the very first letter of recommendation I ever received. It was from Jimmy Allen, one of my teachers at Harding, and I asked him if he would. I was in four classes of his. I was always a B student. I never made an A in this class. He was a tough, tough teacher. I got really close a couple of times, but he was a hard teacher. And I asked him for a letter of recommendation, and he wrote that, and when I read it, I was like, I'm this good? I thought maybe he got me mixed up with someone else. He just went on and on about all my good qualities. And I'm thinking, he didn't bring out anything bad. He brought out everything good. And you know what that did to me? It made me want to live that way. He wasn't lying. He was just telling about my good qualities. And he was bringing that up, and that's what he says here. He says, you, did you know this? You are God's recommendation letter. He has written it on your heart. And you know who wrote the recommendation letter? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God writes you as a recommendation letter. And our response should be, but I'm not that good. I'm not that great. I'm not up to that task. But I'm motivated to live that life because Christ lives in me. And we're confident because of that. Verse 4 and 5 talks about confidence. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. This is not self-confidence. It is God-confidence, Christ confidence. We don't rely on our personal confidence, our competence, our personal talents, our personal charisma. We don't center our lives there, but we center our lives on Christ. That's where our confidence comes from. And much more can be said about this in Christ-centered living all throughout these chapters. He says, we are ministers of a glorious ministry. We have a glorious ministry based in Christ and what he did. And so what does this do? Verse 12, it says, it causes us to be bold. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are bold people, not within ourselves again, but because of who lives in us. And because of that, we live in freedom. Verse 17, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we live a life of freedom in Christ. And then, verse 18, one of my favorite passages, our lives are being daily transformed. He says, and we who with unveiled faces, and we don't have time to explain that, you can read the verses ahead, behind that, all reflect the Lord's glory. We are a reflection of the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Our lives are being daily transformed and changed into His likeness with ever, our lives with ever-increasing glory. And so we are the aroma of Christ. We are ministers of a new covenant. We are being transformed into our likeness. And that's how we're the aroma of Christ. In this outward section, we began in the beginning talking about the Great Commission found in Matthew 28 and Mark chapter 16. Let me show you a parallel between the Great Commission and this passage. Great Commission found in Matthew and Mark, and the aroma of Christ in here, in this passage. He says, Jesus said, I will be with you always. And then he says in 2 Corinthians, Christ always leads us. He always leads us in triumph. Christ said, I'm promised to be with you. And then in Corinthians he says, and he is with us, leading us in triumph. He says, go into all the world. And then he says under the aroma of Christ, he spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. We're commanded to go everywhere. And we do. We go everywhere. Everywhere you go, you are bringing around your special odor of Christ. It's not so much we're commanded to go to Fiji, go to El Salvador. Yes, we can go to those places. Go here. He says, just as you go, you just spread the aroma of Christ wherever you go. And then he said in the Great Commission, believe, those who believe and are baptized are saved, and those who do not believe are condemned. And he said, the parallel here, we are the smell of death to some. You know, some people just resist the good news of Jesus. They don't want it. And when we live that life before them, we are repulsive to them. We are the smell of death. And as Rodney said, those two paths merge together eventually at the judgment day. Yes, that's true. And we are either going down a road that is the smell of death or the smell of life, the fragrance of life. And last, he said, all authority is given to me. And then in verse 17 of chapter 2, he says, we're commissioned by God. We're sent by God. How do we fulfill the Great Commission? Looking at this passage, it is simply by living out Christ in your life in the ways that we've seen. Growing, being transformed into His likeness, we will speak the good news of Christ, and people will respond to it one way or the other. This past week, a week ago today, my brother-in-law, Julie's brother, went to be with the Lord. He was 66 years old and had been sick for 40 years, 45 years or so. And for the past decade, at least for the past decade, he'd been basically in bed at home, hardly ever got out. And as we shared about his life, I thought about this scripture. Different people, an elder spoke about him, his brothers all got up and spoke, his son-in-law. He was physically limited, but his influence went a long ways. He spoke the Word of God. He couldn't preach it. He couldn't go to people. But he spoke the Word of God the best way he could. At one point in his life, he created a crossword puzzle from the Bible. And the ones I saw went all the way through Genesis. He used to send them to us when we were in Fiji. And I found out, I'd heard about this, but I'd forgotten it, but found out that that was sent into prisons and then went from one prison to another prison. And people were responding to his crossword puzzles as they learned about Christ working a crossword puzzle. One person cut his grass. And he had a long write-up about the influence Robin had on him. just from cutting his grass. He said, one of the things that Robin did, he came in and told him how much it cost to cut his grass. And Robin goes, no, I can't pay you that much. I got to pay you more. He went more. He said, no, I'm not going to pay you that much. I'm going to pay you more than that. And the guy was like, no, I can't take that much. He said, no, just take this as future work that you'll do for me. And he said, and I never did future work for him. He just insisted I pay. He said, Robin brought me closer to the Lord and let me know about the Lord just by his life and how he suffered. For us personally, when we began to raise money to go to Fiji, Robin couldn't work. He had no income. His wife was working. But they committed to us $20 a month. They were the very first people that said, we'll help you go overseas. $20 a month for the entire time that we were there and never missed a month. And I was sitting there thinking, but Robin, you need this money more than me. But he knew that was an investment in the Lord's work, that he wanted to spread God's word in Fiji through us. How do we do this? How do we share the message? It's not so much our strength, our personality, our abilities, but it's learning how to focus on him, on Jesus, learn from him, allowing yourselves to be transformed into his image, and then you'll be the influence. You'll be the aroma of Christ, and you'll spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere you go. If you are outside of Christ and you've smelled him by the influence around you, and it's a sweet smell to you, it's time for you to come, as people have this week, and put on the Lord in baptism, wash away your sins, and you become the aroma of Christ. If you're in Christ and you know you haven't been representing him well, and you need prayers of the church, our elders always are up here to receive you. And if we can help anyone in any way, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.